Importers to receive record tariff refunds as CBP nearly doubles accepted claims. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, U.S. Customs and Border Protection raised the ceiling on accepted tariff refund claims to $85 billion, nearly doubling the prior threshold. The $85 billion adjustment encompasses CBP and #X27's drawback and protest processing pipeline and materially affects working capital positions for mid-market manufacturers and industrial suppliers. The refund pool targets tariff overpayments accumulated since the 2018 to 2019 Section 301 duty escalations and recent 2025 tariff increases. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has raised the ceiling on accepted tariff refund claims to $85 billion, a threshold that redraws the financial architecture of import-dependent supply chains and forces every industrial operator with a pending drawback claim to recalculate its working capital position today. The adjustment lifts the prior accepted refund level to $85 billion across the CBP's drawback and protest processing pipeline. Terms related to the timing of disbursement and the per-claimant caps were not disclosed in the source material. What is clear is the order of magnitude. $85 billion represents a capital pool large enough to materially alter balance sheet liquidity for mid-market manufacturers, contract suppliers, and Tier 1 industrials that have been accumulating tariff overpayment claims since the 2018 to 2019 Section 301 duty escalations and the more recent 2025 tariff expansion cycles. Details on the specific regulatory mechanism triggering this increase, including whether it reflects a legislative directive or an administrative reinterpretation within CBP's existing authority, were not disclosed in the available source material. For institutional investors in industrials and manufacturing, the implication is direct. Companies sitting on unresolved tariff drawback claims are carrying an underappreciated receivable on their books, one that the broader equity market has systematically discounted because of the historically slow processing velocity at CBP. A $85 billion acceptance ceiling changes the probability-weighted value of those claims overnight. The number that matters, $85 billion in accepted tariff refunds, represents a potential liquidity injection into U.S. manufacturing and import supply chains. For companies that have filed and are awaiting resolution, this is a receivable, not a hope. The drawback backlog has been a silent balance sheet drag. The U.S. tariff drawback system allows importers to recover duties paid on goods that are subsequently exported, destroyed, or used in downstream manufacturing for export. In theory, it is a clean mechanism. In practice, CBP's processing times for drawback claims have stretched into multi-year backlogs, particularly after the volume surge that followed the 2018 Section 301 tariffs on Chinese goods. Our view, the backlog itself became a hidden cost of capital. A manufacturer that overpaid $10 million in duties in 2022 and filed a drawback claim in 2023 has effectively made a zero-interest loan to the U.S. government for the duration of the processing delay. With interest rates elevated through 2024 and into 2025, the opportunity cost of that float compounded. The $85 billion ceiling signal suggests CBP is now prepared to process and accept claims at a scale that has not previously been operationalized. Industrial companies with high import intensity, specifically those sourcing steel, aluminum, electronics components, and engineered plastics from tariff-affected jurisdictions, are the primary beneficiaries. The sectors most exposed to this receivable dynamic include: source, Plaquemium Holdings Sector Analysis. Import exposure classifications based on publicly available trade flow data and CBP tariff schedule structures. Drawback relevance reflects our assessment of claim eligibility probability. Working capital and the private equity holding company problem for private equity-owned industrials, the tariff receivable question is not abstract. Sponsors that acquired manufacturing platforms in 2021 through 2023 did so at valuations that reflected compressed EBITDA from elevated input costs. Many of those input costs included duties that were theoretically recoverable but practically inaccessible due to CBP processing constraints. Our view, deal teams and portfolio company CFOs should treat the $85 billion acceptance expansion as a trigger event for an immediate drawback claim audit. The asset is on the balance sheet whether it is recognized or not. Failure to recognize it accurately understates enterprise value at exit. The math is not complicated. If a mid-market industrial with $200 million in annual revenue has been importing $40 million per year in tariff-exposed goods at an average effective duty rate of 15%, the annual duty burden is $6 million. Over a three-year hold period with partial export eligibility, the recoverable drawback pool could approach $8 million to $12 million depending on claim structure and export ratios. On a 7x to 9x EBITDA exit multiple, accurate recognition of that receivable adds $56 million to $108 million to implied enterprise value at exit. The specific figures for any given portfolio company will vary, but the directional logic is consistent. This is not a niche tax optimization exercise. It is a valuation gap that the buy side has the tools to close. CBP capacity and the processing velocity question raising the accepted refund ceiling to $85 billion is a necessary condition for capital recovery, but not a sufficient one. The binding constraint in the drawback system has historically been CBP's operational processing velocity, not the stated acceptance ceiling. Our view, the announcement of an $85 billion threshold without accompanying disclosure of staffing increases, automation investments, or processing timeline commitments leaves a material uncertainty unresolved. Institutional investors should not mark drawback receivables to full face value until CBP demonstrates actual disbursement velocity consistent with the new ceiling. The relevant precedent is the 2019 to 2020 period, when CBP expanded its electronic drawback filing system under the Trade Facilitation and Trade Enforcement Act framework. That expansion increased claim submission volume substantially but did not proportionally accelerate resolution timelines in the near term. Claimants that anticipated rapid disbursement encountered multi-year queues. The $85 billion figure signals intent and capacity acknowledgement from CBP. It does not, on its own, guarantee the processing throughput that would convert pending claims into cash within a fiscal year planning horizon. Strategic implications for supply chain redesign decisions. The timing of this CBP announcement intersects with a broader industrial capital allocation debate. U.S. manufacturers have spent 2024 and 2025 evaluating nearshoring, friendshoring, and domestic capacity investment decisions in response to tariff volatility. Many of those decisions were made under the assumption that tariff costs paid on imported inputs were permanent and non-recoverable in practical terms. If the $85 billion ceiling signals a more functional drawback system going forward, it changes the relative economics of import-dependent production versus domestic substitution. A manufacturer comparing the cost of sourcing a precision component from a tariff-affected jurisdiction versus investing in domestic tooling capacity now has a more credible recovery pathway for the import scenario. Our view, this will not stop the nearshoring wave. The strategic rationale for supply chain diversification runs deeper than tariff arithmetic. Geopolitical risk, logistics resilience, and customer-driven domestic content requirements are structural forces that a drawback mechanism cannot fully offset. What it does change is the margin math for companies that remain import-dependent during a transition period, potentially extending the viable runway for existing supply chain configurations while domestic alternatives are built out. The Plaquemines view the market is treating the $85 billion CBP announcement as a procedural update. It is not. It is a balance sheet event for a specific and identifiable set of industrial companies, and the equity market has not priced the receivable correctly. Here is the second-order thesis. The companies best positioned to extract value from this development are not the largest integrated manufacturers, who typically have sophisticated customs teams already managing drawback pipelines. The alpha sits in the mid-market, where customs compliance functions are often under-resourced, drawback claims have been filed but not actively pursued, and the receivable is effectively invisible in the financial model. For private equity sponsors with industrials portfolios, this is an activation event. The playbook is straightforward. Commission a drawback audit across the portfolio, quantify the receivable by entity, and integrate the findings into both the operational improvement narrative and the exit preparation package. The sponsor that does this in 2026 captures the value. The sponsor that waits for the next buyer to discover it in due diligence negotiates it away. There is also a strategic acquirer angle. Companies evaluating bolt-on acquisitions of import-intensive manufacturers should treat the drawback receivable as an undervalued asset in target companies, particularly those that have not had the internal capacity to pursue claims aggressively. A buyer with a functional customs compliance infrastructure can acquire the target, activate the drawback program, and recover a meaningful portion of the acquisition premium through duty refunds over a 24 to 36-month post-close window. The $85 billion ceiling is the ceiling. The question is who has the operational discipline to reach it. The bottom line: CBP's move to raise accepted tariff refunds to $85 billion is the most consequential customs policy development for U.S. manufacturing balance sheets in 2026. For industrial companies and their investors, the priority action is immediate: audit pending drawback claims, quantify the receivable with precision, and pressure test CBP's actual processing velocity against the stated ceiling before marking the asset. The companies that treat this as a finance exercise rather than a compliance update will convert a dormant receivable into deployed capital. The ones that wait will find a better prepared buyer asking for a discount instead.